Please be seated. Our bishop told the deacon community to preach often and do so with great joy. And I'm grateful today that Lee has allowed me this time and space to do this. Today's Old Testament lesson is about rules, specifically about the original Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses during the Exodus. Rules, rules, rules. Few of us like rules. But God put them into a form that we can understand. And 10 to use as a pattern so that we can remember. 10 fingers, 10 toes, 10 rules. 10, a symbol of completeness. A pattern for teachers to follow for all time. To place the Hebrews in time and space, God had led them out of Egypt and bondage. He had led them across the Red Sea, then to a mountain. In return, God instructed Moses that Israel shall be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. He also promised them a land of their own. The Hebrews must have still been basking in the warmth of their deliverance, with God already having delivered on a portion of his covenant with us. It had been only about 3 months since he had delivered them out of bondage. They're on their way to a land that we are told is flowing with milk and honey, and a land that is promised only to them. God's words are thus delivered into a very grace-filled environment. God told the Hebrews, "Folks, this is what I expect of you." This covenant is so important that God delivered these particular words himself. God not only spoke the words, but we are told that he wrote them in his own hand on tablets of stone. The other 603 commandments were to come later, and he did not deliver them in the same fashion. The covenant that we are given is to help us to understand the expectations that God has for his people. In the first section of the covenant, God tells us about how to have a right relationship with him. God tells us that he is the one true God. We're told that he's a jealous God. This demands exclusive devotion. Anything less than exclusive devotion is tantamount to spiritual adultery. God cautions us to be very careful with how we use his name. In early history, there were communities that passed rules that you did not speak God's name, and this was to prevent people from accidentally violating this particular part of the commandments. In this first section of the covenant, God tells us who he is. The second section of the covenant, God tells us how he expects to be worshipped. We are to set aside a day of rest, not only for ourselves, but for our families and for all of those that we have influence with. This is a day that belongs to God, to remember his blessings upon us, a day to worship him. I've heard it said on many occasions by many persons that when I come to church, I am not being fed. And I don't necessarily mean here at Grace Church, so rest easy. Or not. This commandment is to worship God in community. The commandments are given in community. And often, we are reminded by Lee, our spiritual leader in this part of God's kingdom, that the printed service outline is not a program, it is an order of worship. We're not here to be fed, even though that is an expected result of us being here. We are here to give exclusive devotion to the one true God. It is by our worship that we become filled by the Holy Spirit and renewed to continue God's work in his earthly kingdom. We're also reminded to avoid the presumption of coming to the Lord's table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. The third section of our covenant establishes our right relations with our community. We are to honor our father and mother. For that, we're promised a long life. We're to commit neither murder nor adultery. We are not to steal. We're not to bear false witness against our neighbor. We are to say nothing false that would damage our neighbor. That includes spreading stories that may or may not be true about our neighbor. Lastly, we are not to covet anything our neighbor has. To covet does not mean that you cannot cast an appreciative eye at a beautiful painting on one of your neighbor's walls. It is just that it's to remain there. It's your neighbor's, not yours. To covet means making plans to acquire. And covet comes from the same root as the word cupidity, which means greed for money or possessions. Not to covet means that you should never let yourself get in a position where you begin to have enough envy to want to deprive your neighbors of their possessions. And this last statement gives us a lot of insight into exactly what God expects us from this. That is, how we can live up to the covenant. We cannot live up to the covenant. We must live into the covenant. Because God does not just regard our actions, but he looks inwardly at our hearts. Our appointed psalm today puts this sentiment perfectly. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God looks internally. I'm reminded of the story in Matthew's gospel. Jesus encounters a man who asks him, what good deed must I have to have eternal life? Jesus says, why ask me what is good? There is only one who is good. He told the man that if he desires eternal life, he must keep the commandments. The man says, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The man told Jesus that he kept all of these commandments and asked him what he still lacked doing. Jesus told the man to sell all of his possessions and give the money to the poor, and after he had completed that, then come and follow him. Matthew tells us that the man went away grieving because he was wealthy. The story of Jesus tells us much. The man thought he was keeping the commandments, and outwardly he did keep them. We have no reason to believe that the man did not come by his possessions in an honest fashion. Inwardly, the story implies that Jesus well read the intentions of the man and his sincerity. He realized that his possessions stood in the way of the right and proper devotion to God. As is evident in the story, this man did not love his neighbor as himself. That is the bottom line. Be careful that you are not possessed by what you possess. Secondly, Jesus is telling us that we remain bound to the Ten Commandments. The great poet, philosopher, and bartender, St. Robert Fulghum, some of you may know who he is, wrote about this third part of the Ten Commandments, God's laws, and how we deal with each other in the sense of community. Fulghum writes, share everything. Play fair. Do not hit people. Clean up your own mess. Do not take things that are not yours. Take time to say you're sorry when you hurt someone. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands. Stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup from grammar school? How the miracle of seed germinating is still creates a sense of wonder in any that pay attention to God's creation. And God gave us the Ten Commandments. He also reminded us of creation. The creation being the world around us, the creation of each of us, and his love for all of us. In the past week or so, I've spent some time poking around Grace Church looking for postings of the Ten Commandments. My quest has been a cursory one at best. I found none. Are we forsaking our duty by not posting the Ten Commandments prominently for all the world to see, to remind us that we wish to be in covenant with God? Absolutely not. We're not forsaking our responsibility. Just today, we recited the Decalogue, which refers to the Ten Commandments. You may know that Decalogue means 10 words. Deca, 10. Logos means word. So, go figure. In Rite 1, Lee tells us almost every Sunday to hear what Jesus Christ says. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. We're also told that the second commandment is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. The Ten Commandments are part of our catechism, and they're embedded in other parts of our Book of Common Prayer. The Ten Commandments are part of the fabric of who we are. With all commandments, we have a choice. We may choose to separate ourselves from God and be truly enslaved by worldly desires and things. Or we may choose to obey the wishes of God, to live free and in harmony with God and our community. We have the free will to choose. Thanks be to God.
We believe in one God, the Father.